Now I've got a scripture from the Old Testament today, from the book of Zechariah. Now if you can't find Zechariah easily, look in your index, or go to Matthew and turn back two books. Okay? So index or back two books from Matthew, and you will locate the book of Zechariah. And you might be sitting there thinking, what on earth will Zechariah have to say to me? Well, I want to just bring two points out this morning from God's Word. And I believe God's Word is relevant to every person and every situation in life. And so this has got some interesting things, I think, that can really help us to understand what God wants to say to us today. So let's read from verse 1 and Zechariah chapter 2. Then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. And I asked, where are you going? And he answered me, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and how long it is. While the angel who was speaking to me was leaving, another angel, two angels in one day, awesome, came to meet him and said to him, run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of people and animals in it. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord. And I will be its glory within. Come, come, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord. For I have scattered you to the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Come, Zion, escape, you who live in daughter Babylon. For this is what the Lord Almighty says. After the glorious one has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye, or his eye, I will surely raise my hand against them so that they will be, their slaves will plunder them. Then you will know the Lord Almighty has sent me. Interesting. Starts out with a young man measuring the ground. And he's measuring to build walls for God's people to live in a place of safety, to live together in a city. And God's people today are called the Church of Jesus Christ. We are God's people. And it's like this young man, he's thinking, right, as an architect, I think we'll just plan to have this length of wall down there, that length of wall down there. And he's using his own measuring ideas about what the size of the place would be for God's people. Because at that time, the people weren't that many. And God sent him a message and he said, stop measuring. There's absolutely no point. Don't you love the Lord? He uses these analogies. Stop measuring. There's no point in you trying to measure the thing that, or the place where God's people are going to live in. Your ideas and thoughts are far too small. So this young man's measuring was a little bit too small. It was what he thought, his own ideas, his own opinions. And God says, I'm going to have millions. Yes. How many believers here? God says, I'm going to have millions of people. It might not look millions yet, but I'm going to have millions. So stop measuring my church by what you see. And he says, you're going to be a city without walls. And what a wonderful picture. I love that. In the old times, they used to have walls around the city for safety, for security, for a boundary. And God basically is saying there's going to be no boundaries. There's not going to be a limit to what I can do in terms of growing and adding people to my church. Now today is Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to all fathers. May the Lord bless you and give you wisdom as you raise up sons, daughters, grandchildren for the Lord, to teach them to know the Lord. But the father of our family is God. God is the father of this family. And he says, I definitely haven't finished bringing many people in. Amen. So stop measuring life, growth, by what you think, your own measurements. Amen. Don't put a limit on what God plans to do. It's so important, isn't it, to not limit what God plans to do. Because he's always got something bigger and better planned. Any believers in the house today? He's got something bigger and better planned for you. Tell somebody next to you, it's going to be bigger and better what God's going to do. Your thoughts are too small. God actually says in Isaiah, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are so much higher than yours. And so stop measuring life with your thoughts. Start to get a different measure in your life. In Ephesians 3:20, the scripture says, God is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine according to the power that is at work in us. God is able to do far more than you or I could ask or imagine. Sometimes I think our imagination, when it comes to God, what he wants to do with our lives, what he wants to do in the church and through the church into the world, is so limited that actually we limit God with our thoughts. And God is saying, I do not want you to be measuring life by what you think or see. It's going to be bigger and it's going to be better. I'm able to do far more than you could ask or imagine. When that boy brought fish and bread, that small amount that would not feed 5,000 people. Jesus knew what he was going to do, because God can do far more than the disciples could have asked or imagined in that point. I think if you got Philip to pray at that point, he would have said, Lord, send them home for a meal. Amen. Because he couldn't imagine God breaking in with heaven's supply. Many times our limitations are according to what we think, not according to how God thinks. And Jesus stands there and he says, well, give it to me. I'll thank God for it. I'll bless the food and start to give it out. And it fed 5,000 people with leftovers. Now I say bigger, better. God is able to do something bigger and better than you could even pray. Ask or imagine, that's what the scripture says. Now there are two ways of measuring everything. There's the divine measure, God's measure, or there is human measure. Human measure is all about what people can do, the patterns you already have, and there isn't one person in this room, including me, with set patterns and opinions that needs to change. Because human opinions actually settle into what your life experience, what you've been taught, how you think, how you view life, and God's divine thinking or God's rule or measure is completely different to man's. And so he wants you to throw out human thinking and bring in God's thinking. He wants you to replace your own thoughts with his. Because he wants his people to be filled with the way that he thinks and sees about life. That's why he said to that young man, stop measuring everything. I want you to imagine a city without walls. With so many, the place is bursting with people, bursting out. There isn't even any room for it. And imagine this wall of fire around my people, which is my presence and my protection. You don't need your own wall. I will be your protection. You don't need strength. I'm going to give you my strength because my presence is going to be in you. I want you to imagine what I can do with my people. And he wants to exchange human thought for divine, or human measure for divine measure. God's way of measuring. The divine measure is the Word of God. We can know what God's thoughts are because we have it written in the Bible, the New Testament and the Old Testament. It is God's measuring rule, you could say. So when God looks at your life, he sees you in Christ. He measures you according to his word, not according to your own opinions or your own experience. So there is the divine rule or the human measure or rule. And we are to measure everything in life by his word and his promises. You know, when I look at my bank account and it looks like, slightly challenging. If I apply the divine rule and it says give, and it will be given, I need to look at my finances with give. Am I giving financially? Yes. Praise God. And it will be given. So I'm expecting it will be given back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, bigger and better. So the divine rule for givers, whether it's financial, giving to the Lord in serving, giving in friendship and love of one another, loving the world, giving the gospel, is it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Paul actually says human opinions, holding on to your own opinions and your own thoughts isn't wise. Nor is it wise to measure yourself by yourselves, to compare yourselves with yourselves. It's just not wise. You're to not think of yourselves, even amongst you as the church, as, well, are they like them, or are they like them, or where do they fit in the pecking order of the church? We're to take hold of the divine rule, the way that God measures, which is his word. A story of a little boy, and he went to his mum, and I can remember doing this myself. And he said, Mum, I'm 6 feet tall. And she said, I doubt it. And he said, No, I am 6 feet. Well, how did you measure yourself? Well, look, I made my own measure. And he was about this high, just a bit higher than my hip. And he said, I made my own measure, and it says 6 feet. And that little boy was calculating his growth or his height by the wrong measure. He was using his own. And I remember doing that. You know, some families have a little growth chart. And I remember my brother was always ahead of me because he was older than me, so he was always, and I didn't like it, he was always bigger than me. And I was just always catching up, trying to catch up. And then I had my brother, there were four of us, so we were all at different levels, growing up according to this chart. It was a way of teaching us how to measure. But if you get the wrong measurement, you'll go around saying you're 6 feet and you're only three. And if you get your wrong measure when you're building a wall or a cupboard, good luck. You'll have to take it down and start again. And we need to take the divine rule, God's word, God's measure of life. Can we have 1 Corinthians, please? We're going to look at this scripture, but it's in the message, so there's no point looking at your version unless you've got the message, because this is a bit punchy. A little bit kind of different. Here we go. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. and this isn't an insult, I don't see many of the brightest and best here this morning. Among you, not many influential. Not many of you from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women like us guys that culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, a fresh start, comes from God by way of Christ Jesus. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow your own horn, blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. Now, I love that. Not many of us were that significant in the world's eyes, and we maybe still aren't. Not many of us had any value to the world, but God had a value on you. That was his measure of you. He valued you. Even before you were born, he had a value on your life. You were valuable to God. And he chose you not because of your immense talents and giftings. What a surprise. But he chose you because he knew you'd trust him and become a follower of Jesus. Someone who would live by the divine rule and not the mold of the world. Someone who would think differently and think like your heavenly Father. And he said, I'll take the insignificant, thank you. I'll take those the world chucks out. I'll take those who had a bad start in life, but I'm going to change it. I'm going to show the whole world what I can do when I get involved in somebody's life. I'm going to show them, look, this is my trophy of grace. This is what I can do with someone. They maybe used to be hard-hearted, bad-mouthed, rebellious, adulterers. I don't know what they used to be. But because I'm in their life, I am now changed. Their speaking, their motive for life, everything's different. Now they can heal the sick. Now they can do the things that the world actually needs because I live in them. And our significance doesn't come from our gifts and our talents. Our significance comes from having Christ in us. I sometimes think, you know, some Christians, and just imagine the colt or the donkey that took Jesus into Jerusalem. Do you remember that donkey? They chose this foal or this donkey that had never been ridden on. And he's walking through this donkey going through the streets, and everybody's going, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David. And Jesus is on his back riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, our king. And I wonder if the donkey ever thought, well, I've shot to fame overnight. Look at me. He'd have changed. He'd have started off walking like this. And then he'd go, ooh, everybody's looking at me. And he would have thought, here I am. At last they've recognized how great I am. And that scripture means, actually we've just read, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. We might be the one who carries his presence, carries him into the avenues of life where we're called to work and serve, to people who don't know him, into the deep darkness of people's lives. And we're just the one who brings Jesus in. But we're not the ones who say, aren't I amazing? Get me. They're all clapping. At last they recognize my gifts. I'm so talented, you wouldn't even believe it. Whatever. Let him who boasts, boast in Jesus, in what he can do in every one of our lives. And so there's a measure. There's a measure, there's a divine rule that we all need to live our lives by. God's word, God's will. Don't be like that boy and reduce everything to calling it 6 feet when it's your own measure. But let's live life by allowing God to show us He does bigger, better, and He does everything so that the world will see how amazing Jesus is in our lives. Don't measure yourself by somebody else. Oh, I'm as good as them, or I'm not quite as good as them. And remember, you know, we all start life out as children. In a family, when babies are born, there is no expectation of them to wash up. There's only a crying, needing constant care and attention child who can do nothing except hopefully receive love, devotion, care, and as much input as that child needs. But so it is, spiritually speaking. None of us come into God's family without being born from above. You've got to be born into God's family. Amen. But you begin as a child. But you're not supposed to stay a child. Don't put the measuring stick down to, I'm just born again, that's it. That's not the rule for your life. Not just to be saved and go to church. We mustn't measure the goal of being a Christian with where we're at and what we currently are and do. Scripture teaches us to grow from being childlike into a young adult and into the full measure. Ephesians 4:13 says we are to all grow into the unity of faith to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Tell somebody next to you, the measure for your life is Christ Jesus. And we need to all grow up. That's what Scripture encourages us to. The divine rule is Jesus. Everything's to be according to Christ Jesus. His character, that's the goal, that we will live out His character, His word, His promises, His intention, which is the kingdom. We're not here for God to bless us. We're here to live for Him, and He will bless us. But our intention, our goals, are to be His goals. And our work is to be the work He says He has for us to do. God's goals for our lives. The goal of every believer is to grow up into full maturity. Now just imagine that for your life. What would that look like? Well, you'd just be like Jesus. You'd see the same miracles. You'd be able to bring the same word to people and encourage them. Words of knowledge, gifts of healing. You'd be able to bring teaching to people who didn't know the way, and you'd be able to show them the way because you'd know the word. Be like Jesus. That is the goal. Character in full measure. The fullness of Christ. Now I want that, because I want God's goal for my life. I trust you're sitting there saying, okay, I'm growing, I'm not there yet, but I want to go there. I'm not going to settle with where I'm at. I'm not going to measure my life by what I currently am and do. I'm going to push on to the greater things that are ahead. How do we do that, any of it? Well, it's only possible because He's given us Himself. You can't be a Christian without having Jesus. You have to receive Jesus and have Him in your heart. And then, because He lives in you, He can work all that growth into your life and bring you to full stature. Don't stay old, miserable, fed up, young, rebellious. Grow up. Raise the bar. Don't say, I'm settling at 3 feet. Say, I'm going for the full stature of Jesus Christ. So God's going to do something bigger and better with your life. He wants to actually make you think this morning. He wants to challenge your opinion of yourself to say, actually, my goal is to be like Jesus in everything. Word and deed. And finally, in Zechariah, I'm just going to look at this amazing thought that God gave me to bring to you, which is from his word. How God sees you. And I see this amazing comment here. For whoever touches you, touches the apple of God's eye. Whoever touches you, touches the apple of God's eye. Now that comment is used in society, actually, in many people's lives, in family life. When a new baby is born and they start to grow up, the father or the mother, their devotion of that child, they begin to kind of make these comments, oh, is the apple of his daddy's eye, or she's the apple of her eye. And it's a strong expression of love. And God's family, whilst it's with us, a city without walls, we're to think big, we're to think, enlarge our thinking in everything so that we can accommodate what God says and thinks. He actually sees you as the apple of his eye. No, you're not impressed, are you? Some of you are sitting there, yeah, I know that scripture. Hang on a minute. Let's respond. The apple. God says this morning, you are the apple of my eye. In other words, you are special, you're valued, you're loved, you're cherished. And the eye actually means, the apple of the eye means the pupil. And that means God, central to his vision, is you and his church. God sees you and his church as center, like a parent is always looking, where's the kids? Where are they? They don't kind of lose sight of their children. God doesn't lose sight of his children. His eyes are on you. And you are the apple of his eye in Christ. Because of Jesus, he says, I see you in this place of absolute value. I cherish you. Now that changes our relationship with God. Well, it should. That if we come to God knowing that we're the apple of his eye, we're going to pray a bit differently. In family life, if you go to a father who's angry, disappointed constantly with you, then you're not going to go running and say, hi, are you? You're going to be pushed away. But God isn't going to push you away. He says, I may not like what's going on in your life. There's some sin here, there's compromise here, and I hate sin. God hates sin. But it doesn't change the way I see you. You are the apple of my eye. You're the one I cherish. I love you. And I'm devoted to your protection, your care. And if somebody hits you, it's like they give me a black eye. You wouldn't do that to God, would you? Remember what happened to Saul when he was persecuting the church? He was going against the church. Now, they wouldn't have been perfect. They'd have been people like us, filled with the Spirit, but imperfect. Anybody? And God says, why are you persecuting me? You're hitting out at me. When you hit them, you hit me. If you take a shot verbally, you take a shot against another believer, you're actually shooting out at God. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. You need to know God is fiercely protective, like your eyelid. If there's sand blowing in your face, your eyes shut, God will go, shh. No, you don't. You're not getting in. I'm here to deliver you and protect you. What a comment that you are the apple of God's eye. That's not my word, it's God's. And God's word has power to change the way you view him, his plans, his measure for your life. You're to grow up in a family of love. That's what God's saying. His divine rule, full stature in Christ. How will it happen? It'll happen in an environment where you know that you're loved by God. And any family, there's times for correction. There are mums and dads spiritually. There are children that are growing up and need care. God uses the body of Christ, uses the church to help you grow. You need to be part of the body of Christ. It is never, ever God's will for anyone to live outside the body and just visit. God has a family of which we're all members. We're all sons and daughters of Christ. In fact, we're all sons because of the inheritance. But we all belong to God. And it's never His intention, because you won't grow. You won't grow. You won't be a mature believer living independent and isolated. In fact, you'll be open to the attacks of the devil. Because any child in isolation will be attacked. And the devil's plan is to lead you back to the world. That's the plan. Take you back to your old life. But the old is gone. The new has come. And today, God wants to say to you something really important through this story. Don't measure everything by what you can do. I do bigger and better. Don't measure your growth as this is it. There's a whole lot more to the full stature of Christ. And don't think of yourself outside my love for you. You are the apple of my eye. When a baby is born, every child needs love. Every child needs to know they're special. They need contact with their parents. And it isn't that we don't ever need love. It doesn't matter how old you are, everybody in this room needs to be loved. Needs to be special. Needs to be someone who God's eyes, or a person of value, their eyes on you. What greater value could you be, even if your earthly father disappointed you or wasn't there for you? God says, I was always there. I saw you in your mother's womb. I created you. And now in Christ, you're mine. You belong to me. You're the apple of my eye. And I will protect you and defend you, but grow up in my family and use the goals that I have for your life. Don't be like the boy, measuring everything by what you're already in. Press on. As Paul said, forgetting what is behind, I press on to the goal for the upward call of Christ, the goals of Christ, to the full measure and full stature of Christ. We need to grow up, but in love. And finally, everyone you see around you is the apple of God's eye. Have that perspective. When you look at one another, when you have something to say about somebody, always think, hang on a minute. The one who touches them touches the apple. Best be careful what I'm going to say now. Because God loves them as much as He loves me. See, we're a family that are called to love one another beyond emotion and into action. Because that's God's love. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.